I was asked to do this a few weeks ago, and then somebody else asked if they could do it, so I just waited. And then they asked if they could do it again, so I waited. And so I didn't prepare too much for this because I didn't think I was supposed to be here tonight. But my testimony is, I mean, my life is a tribute to God now. And everything I am is because of Him. My life has been ups and downs, but it's never had God in it. I went to a church when we were younger, and I thought it was a form of torture. And I didn't like it one bit. You know, I grew up in a single mother. My dad was absentee. When I was five or so, she married again, and he was a very abusive to my sisters and to me. He beat me all the time, you know. And the things in my past, like then, when I'm growing up and impressionable, is what made me for a long time. I lived in that, you know. That was my definition. I used that as a victim, and I've been a victim my whole life. And I played that card, and the woe is me. I mean, from something that happened that stopped when I was 11 years old. But I have some kind of, I got an addictive personality or alcoholic personality I once had, you know. And so I used that to my advantage. I used it for an excuse to be not very nice. Never a very nice person. I had my times, but that was if I was going to get something out of somebody. You know, I wasn't nice on purpose. I wasn't nice because I wanted to be. I was kind of a faker, you know. I'd be your best friend until I could get something from you. And that's how I lived my life till I was close to 45 years old, I think. I was just a tornado in people's lives, and I didn't really care. I had my own children, and I didn't care. I was an absentee father. You know, what I was so mad at my father for being. I had become, like, the cycle just, you know, generational curse, you know. And and it's kind of, you know, now that I'm doing the right thing, I know that I can't just think everybody, you know, I'm sober now and I'm with Christ. You're not just going to, you know, come love me, you know. I didn't pay attention to them for 22 years, so why would they want to pay attention to me now? And it's a sad part of life for me, but I can't let that bring me out of what I'm doing and what God's plan is for me. I have no idea what that plan is for me. I know it's something awesome because just the little taste that I've been getting so far has totally convinced me that there is a God. You could not, there's no way you could get me to deny it, you know. You could torture me, waterboard me, but I'm always going to say God. You know, he's real, he's alive. He lives in each one of us. You know, when Jesus ascended to heaven, he sent out the Holy Spirit that lives in us all, you know. But I never knew that. I always, since I had an absentee father and an abusive one, I seen God let his son die on a cross, and that really messed me up. I didn't understand, you know, what Jesus dying on the cross was all for. And when you're little, you know, it's hard to explain that. How can this guy's dad let him die? Why didn't he get him off that cross? You know, I didn't know the plan. It took me till I was 45 and actually got into the Bible and talked to people like, you know, Lyle, Messy Marvin, you know, people that knew. That's what I want to hang out with them people now. I want to know as much as I can know, because what I do know probably isn't very accurate. So I'm trying to reset my God meter, my Jesus meter. You know, I'm trying to go back to the basics, starting all over. You know, from John. You know, the first John. You know, where he is the Word, and I didn't even know that the Word was him. It's hard to read the Bible for me sometimes. I need somebody smart to help me figure it out. And I'm glad I have, because I know so much more now. Like, to replace. I mean, a lot of words mean Jesus and mean God, but they're not. They don't say Jesus and God. They say love and truth and honesty, because he is all them things. He is pretty much everything good. I guess I'll read this now. I ain't going to read much scripture, but since this is fitting for what I just said, this is from 1 Corinthians 13, and it's 4 through a little bit after 7. It says, and how I just said, God sometimes is different words. It says, love is patient, love is kind. Love does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil. It rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. Love never fails. That is God. That is Jesus. He never fails, you know. Even if you do stray off the path, because I've strayed, I don't think I think it was the pastor of this church, Gonza Lee. He must have escaped out the back. But on August 4th of 2017 was the first time I met Gonza Lee Martin. And and they let me come to this program they were running, right? And Gonza Lee didn't even know I was there. They just let me in because some Christians found me on the street. I was going to get high. And I wound up running into some Christians on the street. And I'm so glad, because they've changed my life. And what was weird, when I first talked to these guys and they said they were going to help me, they said, you know, do you want help? I said, well, that's why I came to this town, because I'm from Fremont, Indiana, all the way at the top of the state. There is no rehabs. There is no halfway houses. There is no Salvation Army. There is nothing. You know, if you don't have $20,000, you can't go to rehab where I'm from. So, I came here to be homeless and try to get into the Salvation Army. But then I seen their rules and I split. There's no way. I'm a barbarian and I can't live by rules like that, you know? I am, you know, it's my way. They can't tell me what to do. My boss couldn't tell me what to do when I was out there, you know? So I wound up being on the streets, getting kicked out of the mission. I was just, you know, I was trying to get it, but didn't really want it, you know, and them Christians, them darn Christians, I run into them one day, right? They tricked me into it, too. They said, let's go get high, and they knew that this Christian group was giving out cheeseburgers, and they tricked me, and they were, it was like a frenzy over this, all this candy, and I'm from Fremont, and I heard about Fort Wayne, and I didn't want to get shot, stabbed, beaten, you know. Deep down inside, I'm scared, you know. I want to live, you know. And I was like, yeah, I said, not for me. I said, I don't want to pull back a nub. And he's like, yeah, just go get yourself something. I'm like, started telling him my story. I'm from Fremont. I am a 26-year meth addict. I've lived life, you know. Where are you at? I'm on the street. I'm living under the bridge. He said, what'd you come here for? And I said, I came here to get help. And he said, do you know Jesus? I said, I do not. I do have a fear of God. I did think there was something out there. Probably the only reason I didn't commit suicide. I didn't want to live in purgatory, you know. And if it was true, I didn't want to go to hell. You know, so I knew, I had an understanding, I had the fear of God instilled in me, but it never stopped me from doing wrong. So he said, well, if I could get you some help, would you want to go? And I said, yeah, that's why I came here for. And he said, if I could get you some help right now, would you go? And I said, yeah, that's what I came to this town for. And he called Gonza Lee Martin, and Gonza Lee didn't answer. But he called the director of the house that was running. They were running. It was called the Catalpa Street Center. And they told me to come in. So I go to my buddy's house and I say, hey, I'm going to rehab. You should come with me. And he said, no, he's not doing no rehab. He's not alive now, by the way. But he had a chance. So I go to this rehab, and the next Monday I got to meet Gonsley Martin. And I don't know if you guys know me. I'm still kind of a spaz. You know, I'm really sarcastic sometimes. I know I shouldn't be, but I think that's why I am now for the role that I do. So Gonsley says, I don't think you're right for this program. And he said, but I'm going to let you in. And I thanked him. But when they told me they were going to get me in, I was stuck in this van because I was kicked out of the mission. And I cried and I cried because I couldn't believe these strangers from the street, you know, cared about me. They honestly cared about me. And they didn't even really know. They didn't know my middle name. They didn't know my last name. They just knew I was a person that needed help. And it blew my mind. And I cried for probably a whole hour waiting for them in that van. And they took me there, and it was awesome. And it was a religious program. And you know what I did? I didn't want it. I wound up getting kicked out of there after 9 months. And what was crazy is I had a vision. You know, they say like the yellow light experience, like feeling the presence of God. The first day I got high in there, I came back to my bunk and a yellow glow started. And I just broke down. I could feel the presence of God. And I knew it. And I said to myself right then, I said, and I even told one guy, he comes, of course, he's kind of like David, come in at the wrong moment, right? So I'm bawling and I'm a man. I'm not going to bawl, right? I'm a crybaby. But he ruined it for me. He didn't really, you know. But so I tell them the next day, I said, you know, I seen God, and I'm going to be better. And I got my Bible out, and they were all really happy. You know, they wanted me to do that. But I had already did the drugs. And so the consequences were set. I mean, there's consequences for your actions. It's one of my favorite things now to say. Right, Dave?
Yes.
So I got kicked out of there, and then I went to the 13-step house after a little stint under the bridge. And I joined that homeless ministry and served it for 9 months. And I came here, and then I disappeared. I wasn't here no more. I was under the bridge with the people I used to serve, you know, which is probably not a good example, not at the time. But they seen me snap back because I have, and I'm building, and I'm continuously working on a relationship with Christ. That is, like most of you said, the most important thing in my life, because without it, I'm dead. And what I get from the Word about being a child of God, you know, we're entitled to certain things, you know, but we're expected to act in a certain way. And I still have a lot of that in me. I'm still, you know, I think I got baptized August 19th of 2018. And I was at the 13-step house. Because the religious one, God puts you on a path and he has a plan for you. And everything you do, like some people can just get sober with God. I was not one of them. God sent me somewhere where it had a 12-step program because I needed both. I did this, and I did the homeless ministry, and I did the 12 steps of AA, and I got kicked out of that house. How's that work? Oh, because I was lying to everybody, and I was doing drugs. And I had an excuse because I had a girlfriend, so I blamed it all on her, you know. And that's all we need, and there's an excuse. I'm not going to blame myself. It's somebody else's fault. Every time I've ever did anything was always somebody else's fault. I'm not accountable for anything I do, you know? And I've never faced consequences because I'll take off, you know? I'll be gone in a heartbeat. Can't get a hold of me on the phone, you know? Won't see me in church. But I realized that what I did to the person I was dating was probably the last straw. It was God's lesson for me. He sent her into my life for a reason. I thought it was something else. I thought it was love and marriage, and no, it was for a lesson in pain. and blame, and then actually having to look at myself and see what I did. And I was the whole cause. I was, you know, when we're addicts and you start doing drugs, I was supposedly sober, so I didn't want her to come see that my eyes were bloodshot. So I would say that she was a crappy girlfriend. I would blame it on her. I would start a fight on purpose just so she wouldn't come know I'm high, because I couldn't be honest with everybody, anybody, you know, especially myself. And after that failed, and it was probably the best lesson I've ever learned, I realized how bad I hurt her. She actually had to be on anxiety medicine and different things because of in depression, and it was all my fault. She wasn't that way before. It was because I ran into her, because I got into her life. She has never been with an addict, and she had false hope in me. You know, she had the hope that God had, probably, but I let go of his hand, and she became my God. And you know what he does to idols that he doesn't like? He takes them away, man. And he took her away and got over it, went back under the bridge, like I said. And the whole time I was under, I said, I have to get back to the 13th step house. That's where I'm going to get better. You know, so I got back there and I took it super serious, and I did what I had to do, what God sent me there to do. And it was, and when you have a job for God, you have to do it to the best of your ability and try to do it as hard as you can, you know. And I did that. I did all my steps in like 3 months, and I was trying to be as thorough. But stuff still pops up. I remember stuff. I'm like, oh, man, I need forgiven for that. I go right to God for that now. You know, I don't really go to my sponsor for it anymore, you know. He guided me through what I needed to know, and God's taken over. And since then, my life has, it's crazy, because where I've come from and how many times I've been in jail and what I do now. And what I do now is what God wanted me to do. I don't know what I'll be doing in a few years from now, but I was at the 13 step house, and it was being mismanaged. You know how we all know how to manage a place better. And I seen it was falling, you know. There was a guy was ripping people off before, and then the new guy they put in wasn't never there. There wasn't no real guidance. And I started praying to God for guidance for the place, for the board, for management. And God is funny, and he's got a great sense of humor. And in his wisdom, he somehow they all went away, and it left me in charge. And it was kind of like, you asked for it, you know. Let's see you do better. And God has blessed me in a million ways, and he's blessed the house. Exactly what I prayed for. I prayed for donations for the house. We got it. I mean, when I first started working there, after cashing our checks, there was $3 left in our account. It now has over $100,000 in the bank. We have a waiting list of guys. And that's all God. It's all from praying. And that's what's crazy. You know, I ask for, and I pray for others. I didn't pray for me. I didn't pray for that job. I'm a welder. I'm a fabricator. You know, I can fix metal. I can't fix people. You know, and God's seen something else in me. And he turned me that way. And now I love it, you know. There's days that are rough because sometimes I got 40-some whiny guys, you know, and I'm one dude. And there's a lot of needs and wants when you're an addict and alcoholic. You need, you want, you need, you want. You know, your priority. Selfishness is our downfall, you know. And so I'm trying to, I deal with that on a daily. And I try not to be selfish. I mean, I'm not really too selfish anymore. And I'm almost 100% honest. I'm still not going to tell some girl that don't look good in jeans that she doesn't look good in jeans. You know, I still do my little white lies. There's things, you know, but I'm doing the best I can. I'm not there yet, but I'm 100% better than I was. And I used to use that for an excuse almost. Like, you know, instead of committing 47 sins by 7, now I'm only committing 3. it's still not a good record, you know. And I know that I'm going to fall short. We all fall short every day. None of us can go a day without sinning that I know of. Maybe he did when, you know, in the way younger. But once you get old enough to talk and walk, you already are plotting on being selfish, taking a little bit more food, hiding the toy because you don't want your brother to play with it. It's human nature. It's natural desires for ourselves, and God gave them to us, but he did give us the power to control that, you know, and you've got to get close to him to control it, and you've got to have the will, and you actually have to try. You know, I thought just getting close to him was enough and talking to him every day, but I got to practice that. You know, I can't say one thing and do another, even though, you know, I'm new at it. 2 years, and you know, I have different, you know, when you first become a Christian, the ideas I had, and I don't know if it's true, and nobody's been to heaven and came back, right, except Jesus, and so I don't know what heaven's like. I do know I want to go there. I do know I am going there, because and I didn't do anything to deserve it. And I didn't do enough work in my life to earn it, because you can't. You can't earn it, and you don't deserve it. You totally don't deserve it. We are wretched, wretched souls. And it's through the blood of Jesus Christ that makes us, you know, acceptable. You know, he took everything that I ever did, and he nailed it to the cross, and he bolted and rose again. And he left all that crap on the cross, you know. All my bad is stuck there, and I can be free, you know, just like him. I can ascend to heaven. And I think the better I get, I think if I did walk a perfect day, I don't know, would I, if I didn't sin, if a woman walked by me and I didn't think lustful thoughts, if I didn't want to, you know, do something for myself, if I didn't swear, if I didn't smoke, you know, if I just did one perfect day like Jesus did, what would happen? You know, I think the disciples could cure, and they could, you know, exorcise demons because they were so close to God. They were right by him. So the closer you are to him, the more powerful your prayers are. It has to be. Because I'm, you know, in my heart, I'm as close. I'm close to him, but I know there's room to get closer, you know. And I'm going to try to get there, you know. I now... That woman that I tormented and made feel useless, we're almost best friends today. We hang out, we go to dinner, we talk and laugh, and that's all God's doing, you know. It's crazy what he has did in my life. And I can't thank him enough, and I do it all the time. And I try to bring people to him. I can't, being the house manager of the 13 Step House now, we're not a religious program. We're a spiritual program, which Jesus is spiritual. So I can tell them about it, but I can't force anybody to do anything. You know, everybody knows about it, and my guys are here. You know, I got a few guys here that want to know Jesus. You know, they see, people seeing what's happened in my life, and they want to know. It's the grass is greener on the other side, you know, and life is peaceful. And I'm free of all my worries. You know, I don't worry about anything. I know that if it's God's plan and I know that it's truth, it'll come to fruition. You know, anything I know that's really going to happen, if it's good for good of God, it'll happen. I mean, there's nothing that can stop it, because God has a plan for us, you know. And I'll read you about it right now. Last thing I'll read. And it's my favorite one because it's totally true. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And it's totally true. If you believe, if you take his hand, that's all you're going to get. And it just gets better and better. And I might be a little early. But I also want to know, I want to tell you about the love of God that I feel from reading the Bible, right? And I read this thing called Jesus' Calling, and when I think of it, it makes me cry. The crushing love that God has for us. If we could get a half of the love that he feels for us, we'd splat. We would die. And his love is that powerful, and he does everything for us. And if you get with him, you have no wants. He satisfies all of our needs. And all you got to do is believe. All you got to do is talk to him. All you got to do is pray. All you got to do is thank. I go days and I thank him for everything I see. You know? And I like that this room's getting bigger. After that COVID, there was 10 people here that day. And God has brought all you guys here today. And that's to me super sweet. All the people, I mean, there's still some of us missing. I think they'll get here eventually, you know? But, I mean, I remember all you guys from before the COVID. Some of you guys are new. Some are real old, Greg. So that's all I have. I just hope you guys are blessed today. And I've already prayed for each and every one of you. So you got a good ride home. We're safe. And that's all I have.